It's good news that the well was capped last week, Mr. Brady, but it's not over yet with the new moratorium and the lawsuits.
Well, capping the well is a good start toward addressing the environmental damage from the spill, but the economic damage, the American jobs that are being lost in our region, continues to go on. Even though the Obama administration has lost two rounds in the federal courts, this new moratorium they instilled is going to have a devastating impact on our jobs. Rigs are already starting to leave the Gulf, our workers with them. Small businesses, those who supply the rigs, are struggling. Soon, we'll see capital being invested not in the Gulf of Mexico, in our region, but in Brazil, West Africa, the Middle East, and around the world rather than here. And then finally, in our big fear, of course, is eventually this moratorium goes to its full extent. We'll not only lose tens of thousands of jobs and many small businesses, but our energy headquarters will make more sense to be located in countries that welcome them, that want their investment, and that is a long-term concern for us.
Well, shouldn't President Obama meet with industry workers if his drilling policies are sending them to the unemployment line?
Well, I don't understand. It's been a week since I wrote President Obama inviting him to come to Texas to meet with our energy workers, our small businesses, whose livelihoods are endangered by his moratorium. So far, it's only been silence. I know he's got a lot on his plate, but he's visited every other state affected by the spill. I want him to visit the communities that have been affected by his moratorium so he can see these aren't Republican or Democrat workers. These are American workers trying to put their kids through college, trying to keep a roof over their heads. They didn't do anything wrong. They didn't cause the spill. All they're trying to do is produce safe, affordable energy for America. So I will say this again, Mr. President, please come to our region, meet with our workers face-to-face, learn, hear from them how much damage this drilling moratorium is causing.
It seems the White House just can't stop telling us how great the stimulus is. But are the Americans buying the stimulus romance novel they're selling?
Americans have seen the wasteful spending, the wildly exaggerated claims, and they've seen the unemployment rate go up. So they're not buying the stimulus claims. In fact, 90% of Americans believe this economy is in bad shape. And 3 out of 4 don't believe it's getting better anytime soon. In fact, they're convinced the debt and deficit caused by the stimulus is a bigger threat to the economy than anything else. The fact is, 16 months after that massive stimulus was put in place, the White House has failed to meet any of its 3 major promises. The unemployment rate didn't go down. It has gone up. They're 7 million jobs short of what they promised. And most of the jobs created have all been federal government workers, not private sector workers. We've lost over 3 million of those jobs. So stimulus has failed to meet the White House's own measurements. And what's really revealing is that in the new quarterly report, they just left out their own measurements. The standards they said would measure success, they now are hiding. So the question is the White House and congressional Democrats ducking accountability for the stimulus? Or are they hiding the test so we can't measure the poor performance against their own standards?
Well, polls from ABC News, CBS, Bloomberg all basically say the same thing. The economy is bad and the White House policies aren't working. Mr. Brady, what would help?
You know, Americans right now are very down on the economy. They expect the recession to linger 4 years. They also believe the president has spent too much time on his ideology and agenda and too little time putting Americans back to work. 3 in 4 Americans now say the effects of the recession will last another 2 years or more. Barely 1 out of 10 Americans say that the president's economic program has helped them. And what's interesting is that most Americans, over half, say the best way to get the economy moving is to cut taxes for families, for small businesses, and to erase the uncertainty that keeps businesses from rehiring workers and expanding their plants.
The more Americans learn about the health care bill, the more they seem to dislike it. And now they're learning it's a paperwork nightmare for small businesses come tax time. Should we be adding to the onerous tax code like this?
Small businesses were hopeful that this new national health care plan might help. They've learned 2 things. One is that 95% of small businesses won't get any help from the health care plan. And now they're learning that 100% of small businesses will have brand new burdens reporting to the IRS they never imagined. I'm hearing from small businesses throughout the district, as well as accountants in small communities, who say small businesses, medium-sized businesses, will be overwhelmed by the new IRS reporting requirements in this new health care plan, in addition to the fact they'll have to prove they're offering government-approved health care for their workers or face a major tax. For example, one of the new mandates requires small businesses to file a new tax form for every business to which they pay $600 or more. So if you're a company with a lot of people you buy from or that buy from you, you're going to be generating paperwork literally every day, multiple forms to the IRS above and beyond all the paperwork you already do. And according to the National Federation of Independent Businesses, at $74 an hour, tax paperwork is the most expensive paperwork burden placed on small businesses by Uncle Sam. And the new health care plan just made it worse.
President Obama's executive order on no tax dollars for abortion seems to be out of step with his administration's policies, at least in one state. How do you think Americans are going to handle this news?
Americans may differ on their view of abortions. I'm pro-life, but they've always agreed the tax dollars shouldn't be used to fund abortions. The president vowed it wouldn't happen in the new health care bill, even signed an executive order. But we've learned that he's sending $160 million to Pennsylvania for the high-risk pool that will subsidize coverage for nearly any kind of abortion, exactly the opposite of what he assured the American public and what he assured some Democrats who voted for this bill, who now have huge egg on their face. And Americans overwhelmingly oppose their tax dollars paying for abortion, but this White House doesn't have any problem ignoring their earlier promises to these Americans.
Are Americans right to be fearful of what happens in less than 6 months when tax rates go up?
You know, families, small businesses are starting to figure out that a lot of tax relief they've taken for granted is going to go away at the end of this year if congressional Democrats have their way. What it means for the average Texas family will pay $3,000 more a year in personal income taxes. They'll welcome back the marriage penalty. They'll welcome back the death tax. You're going to see increases on savings and investment for families. You're going to see small businesses no longer able to write off the equipment that they buy. 27 million Americans may be caught up in the alternative minimum tax. That's sort of a second tax that captures you if the original tax code doesn't. And it's going to shock a lot of families, some who make maybe $70,000 a year between both parents, maybe paying more to Uncle Sam this year than they ever have before. A major reason consumers have lost confidence in the economy, are saving their dollars, is they know someone's going to have to pay for this awful debt. It sure appears their worst fears are coming true when these tax increases occur at the end of this year. I'm going to fight to keep every one of those tax cuts in place. Our families, our small businesses, our economy can't afford it.
We have just two more voting weeks left until lawmakers head home for several weeks, but no tough votes in sight in the House. Are they waiting for a lame duck session to saddle Americans with more bad policies?
Americans are starting to awaken to the fact that as much as the November elections may well change things, Democrats in Congress will have one last sneaky way to try to pass bills before the end of the year. They are proposing a lame duck session that would take up a lot of controversial issues, from massive new spending to taking away the right to a secret vote in union elections, cap and trade bills, as well as others. What Washington Democrats and the White House don't understand is that the American public is already angry about bills that lawmakers don't read, no time to see them, no amendments, no other ideas. Yet here, you're going to sneak through, rush through more legislation after you may well have lost control of one chamber or the other, and are trying to pass things after you've lost control that you couldn't pass when you did. I think the American public will revolt if congressional Democrats try to sneak major bills through after the elections are over, before the new Congress takes effect in January.